It's good to be back in the house of the Lord again, to sing praises unto Him and to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. It's good to see each and every one that's here. We thank God for those that are visiting with us. We hope and pray that your stay here will be pleasant. If anything that we could do while you're visiting in this state, by all means let us know that we might help you. We come this morning thanking God once again for the sparing of each and every one of our lives. I know without a doubt that there was someone living last night that's not living today. And the fact that you and I are still here is a testament to each and every one of us that God is still shining His grace upon us on this time, on this side of time. So let us not take this time for granted that God is giving us. I have a lesson that's prepared for us coming from the book of Acts chapter 8, a very familiar passage of scripture that we are familiar with. And the Bible tells us, before I go to those passages, in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God giveth, that God in all things through Jesus Christ may be glorified. Dominion forever and ever to be praised. And so this morning, as I share the word of God with you, I hope and pray that God would get the glory from the preaching of His word, and each and every one of us will be edified from the preaching of God's word. I just want to read these passages of scripture. My subject is understanding is the best thing in this world. And it's coming from the book of Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to look at verse 26. And we read down through verse 31. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." And the Bible says, "And he rose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasures, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and were returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." In verse 29, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." In verse 30, the Bible says, "And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understanding thou what thou readest?" In verse 31, the Bible says, "And he said, How can I? Except some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." Well, let those scriptures serve as our scripture reading this morning. But before that we go any further into this lesson, we always count this as a blessing, as well as an opportunity to always go to our Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. So this time, let us humble ourselves once again as one has been selected to lead us in prayer. But as we look into this lesson, brothers, sisters, and friends, and visitors this morning, understanding is the best thing in this world when it comes to our salvation. We can be successful in a lot of things in this life without knowing a lot about different situations. But when it comes to our salvation, understanding is the best thing in this world. And we see this in these passages of scriptures. There's a couple of scriptures I always like to state, and they're not in my subject this morning, but I'd like to, for us to just to think about these scriptures as we study God's word. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, and verse 5 and 6, this is what these scriptures say. The Bible teaches us that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. The Bible says, add not to his word, lest he reproves you, and you be found a liar. There's another scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 3, and verse 3. This is what these passages of scripture says. It says, what if some do not believe the faith of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? In other words, what the Bible is saying is that if we do not believe the word of God, it doesn't change the word of God at all. It says, yea. It said, nay, let God be true, and every man a liar. So that's what we look at when we come to the study of God's word. And the reason I like to mention these scriptures, because some of us have not always been in the church of Christ. We come from different religions. And some of us has been handed down handmade religion from different men. But the Bible tells us this morning that the word of God is what we should bank on and put our trust in. Because the Bible says that in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, in verse 8, it says that the grass withered and the flowers faded, but the word of our Lord shall endure forever. And so that's what we want to put our trust in, brothers and sisters, as we study this lesson. Once to notice, I say, is that these passages of scripture, when it comes to the understanding is the best thing in the world, it tells the story of a man that had traveled to Jerusalem to worship God. And he came from Ethiopia. And they tell me that this was about 1,100 miles that he had traveled to worship God. And sometimes I know that we don't want to come across the street. But this man traveled about 1,100 miles to worship God. And I think about this man that he was a religious man. And keep that in mind, he was religious, but he wasn't saved. You think about that. He was a religious man, but he wasn't saved. And he came to worship God. And I want to notice what the Bible teach here. It says that in the angel, in verse 26 of Acts chapter 8, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And the Bible says, and he arose and went. And behold, a man, an Ethiopian, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Now, this was a man that was a very smart person, a very intelligent man. This man knew finances, because he had the charge of all of that nation's treasures, and he had traveled this far to worship God. He was seeking God. That's what he was doing. He was seeking. And you know, Brother Skyler, now we were talking about this last Lord's Day. When we came to the Lord, that's what we were doing. We were seeking. We were seeking the truth. And God rewarded us for our search. You know what the Bible says about that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6? It says that without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we are seeking the Lord, God will reward us. And this unit was seeking. But I want us to notice, you know, that the Spirit was working with the unit. I mean, was working with Phillips, not the unit. Because God saw this man was seeking him, he sent Philip to him. And understanding is the best thing in this world. I want to give us another patch of scripture, and we'll come back to this book of Acts. I want to look at Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, and we'll look at 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and verse 7. And this is David instructing his son concerning getting to understanding. Notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. This is David instructing his son about getting an understanding. Because our understanding concerning our salvation is the best thing in this world. And we'll go back to the book of Acts here. And notice what happened here. The Bible says in verse 28, said, was returning, the eunuch was returning and sitting in his chariot and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And the Bible says, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? This is a man that was a humble man, and he was an honest man, because he was reading his Bible. And that's very commendable. A man to travel this far on his way back from worship and stop to read his Bible. He wasn't reading about finances. He wasn't reading the Jerusalem Gazette or the Wall Street Journal. This man was reading his Bible. He stopped to read his Bible. And when Philip asked him that question, you know, have we noticed the attitude of this unit? He didn't have a put up attitude or, do you know who I am? I am the one that in charge of all the Ethiopian treasure. He was sitting in his chariot. He had a very humble attitude, and he was honest. You know how some people are when we talk to them about the Bible? You try to explain to them about the Bible. Yeah, I know, I understand. And know all the time that they don't understand. The only way that we're going to understand is that when we don't know is ask for some help. That's the only way we're going to understand. And the Bible tells us that God will give it to us. Notice, he had a humble attitude. When Philip asked that question, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And notice what he said in verse 31. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And the Bible says, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And notice, in verse 32, the Bible says the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. And the Bible says in his humility, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And notice the Bible says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? As you notice, he was reading his Bible, but he didn't understand it. He said, who is this person talking about, this prophet? Is he speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about some other man? He didn't understand what he was reading. although he was reading his Bible. And the Bible tells us in verse 35, he said, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him," who? Jesus. Thank God that Philip knew where to start. He started at the same scriptures that the eunuch was reading and preached unto him, Jesus. The eunuch was reading Isaiah chapter 53. That's what he was reading. Let us go back there and take a look. We'll see. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, we find out that this is where the eunuch was speaking from. Isaiah chapter 53. Notice what it says. And I start around verse 53. I start at verse 3. The Bible says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." This is where the eunuch was reading when Philip walked up to that chariot. He was reading Isaiah 53. But he didn't understand what he was reading. And the Bible says that Philip preached unto him Jesus. And brothers, sisters, and friends, we have to tell the story of Jesus when we're talking to people about the gospel. Tell the story of Jesus Christ. Tell what Jesus did for us. And then after we tell the story, we have to also tell about the plan. We cannot preach Jesus without preaching the plan on how to be saved. We preach Jesus to tell people what Jesus has done for us, and then we teach people the plan is to tell people how we are to be saved. We have to do those both things. We have to have a balance in preaching the gospel. And notice I want to say something here. At these passages of Scripture, the Bible says in verse 35, says that Philip preached unto him Jesus. And notice this. In verse 36, the Bible says that they went on their way. They came unto a certain water. That's what I want us to notice here. And the eunuch said, "See." I am so glad that God had the Holy Spirit to pin this word, "See," in the Bible. The eunuch said, "See." That "see" is there. I've heard a lot of preachers say that, you know what? It wasn't a little water that they came to because they were in a desert. They said it wasn't a little water, but the eunuch said, "See." He saw the water. He said, "See, see." Notice what he says. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And you know, the Bible doesn't tell us in verse 35 that Philip preached about the plan of salvation, but it's inferred. It is inferred because you understand that this man wasn't saved. He was a religious man, but he wasn't saved. It is inferred that that Philip preached unto him about the plan of salvation, because the Bible says that the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And so Philip had to preach unto him the plan. He preached that plan unto that man also. He told him about Jesus, how Jesus had bared our sins upon that cross, how we're healed through his stripes. And then Philip told him what he must do to be saved. He told him about he had to be baptized in order for him to be saved. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters and friends. You have to know what you're doing when it comes to baptism. In order for us to have our sin washed away, we have to know the purpose of baptism in order for our sins to be washed away. There's no way that we can have our sins be washed away and not know they are being washed away. We have to know this. And notice what the Bible says in verse 37, the unit asks at him, what does hinder me to be baptized? And the Bible says, and Philip said, if thou believe it with all thine heart. Now this is the confession, isn't it? He had to make the confession that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. This is the confession. Philip says, if thou believe with all thine heart, thou mayest. And notice what he says. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession. Because Peter had preached to him about all the things that Jesus had done. And then he also preached a plan for him to be saved. And notice what happened. And the Bible says that in verse 38, and he commanded that the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. They went down both into that water. There was an immersion. Isn't that something? Brother Tom and I, we talked about this. He was telling me that when he was a baby that he was sprinkled. That's not a baptism. Being sprinkled with water is not a baptism. Brother Tom had to go back again when he became of knowledge and got an understanding. He had to go back into that water again. I had to go back. I was in another man religion, in the Baptist religion. When I came to the truth, I asked a question. I asked a brother, when a brother preached the gospel, I said, what must I do to be saved? He said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I said, yes, I believe that. He said, then do you believe that God raised him from the dead? I said, yes. He said, you need to be baptized. I said, I already been baptized. He said, that baptism didn't put you in Christ. You got to be baptized. You got to be baptized into Christ to have your sin washed away. You know something here? The Bible teaches us something. I was taught that I was taught if you believe before you're baptized, and this was before you're baptized, that you're saved. And this is what I was taught. The only thing you have to do is believe and you're saved before that you are baptized. And they waited about a month and they baptized me later on. And they said the baptism was just an outward show for inward grace. Now, what they were telling me that, James, if you go out here and you get hit by a Mack truck, you're all right. Because you're saved. Because the Bible teaches something different. Jesus says that, and we'll look at this. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 16, 15 and 16. The book of Mark. We'll see what Jesus teach. Mark chapter 16. And let's start around verse 14 and we'll read down. The book of Mark, chapter 16, and verse 14, the Bible says, afterward he appeared unto, speaking of Jesus, the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had heard of him after he was risen. And Jesus said in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, this is what I want us to notice. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And he says that, verse 16, he that believeth, number one, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, this is what Jesus is teaching. Jesus said, he that believeth. Baptize and save. Now, this is what Jesus teach. He said, he that believeth, number one, he that is baptized, number two, save, number three. That's what Jesus teach. The question this morning is, then where is salvation? Is it before you're baptized or after you're baptized? Where is it? Where do we get the forgiveness of our sins? Is it before? I was taught over here that you got it before you were baptized. Jesus says that he that believeth, number one, he that is baptized, number two, and after number three, after he's baptized, he's saved. That's where salvation is. So if this is what Jesus is teaching, where did this come from? If this is what Jesus is teaching, and that's what we have to deal with, brothers and sisters, is the hand-me-down religion that we are taught. And the Bible says that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. The Bible tells us over in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll take a look at that. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. I want to notice something here. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. I got a little time to still deal with these passages of scriptures. I want us to notice here. Ephesians chapter 4, and we will look at verse 4. Notice what this passage of scripture teaches us. It says that there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. In other words, that we only are saved one way. We all are called to be saved in one way. I'm not called to be saved one way, and you're called to save a different way. We all are called into that one hope of our calling to be saved by. There's only one. Notice what the Bible says. There's one Lord, one faith. Now, people will say, well, you talk to people about the Bible, they say, well, you know, you got your faith and I got my faith. How is it that you have your faith and I have my faith when there's not but one faith? There's not but one faith. You see, this is what people have a hard time dealing with, is this. One. Isn't that amazing? People have a hard time wrapping their minds around one. You can show this to a child, and a child can understand it right away. That is only speaking of one. But you talk to an adult and they can't seem to understand one. Because you know why? The devil takes the simplicity out of Christ, where people cannot understand one. They can't wrap their minds around one. And you know what people tell you? We talk to them about the Bible. Well, you know, there's not but one God. You're right. They believe that. Yeah, that's not but one God. But what about the other ones? What about the one faith? The one spirit? The one hope? One God? One Father? What about those ones? We can't wrap our minds around the one, because the devil comes and he takes the simplicity out of one, where people cannot understand the simple number one. It's not but one God, not but one faith. You know what the Bible, Paul told Timothy, First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself, unto thy doctrine. Continue in them. He said, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. Take heed. Be watchful of what we teach, that we might be able to save ourselves as well as those that hear it. You know, when God put Adam to sleep in the Garden of Eden and took his rib and created Eve and presented Eve unto Adam as his wife, Adam didn't look around to see was there another woman around, because there wasn't but one. There wasn't but one. There was Eve. You see, when we have one, we don't have a choice. It's only when we have more than one that we have a choice. There's no choice in one. The Bible says there's one. One baptism that puts us in Christ. And we can be baptized a lot of times, but there's only one baptism when we are baptized scripturally, is that puts us in Christ. That one baptism, when we do what God say do. Well, let's notice something else here. In the book of Romans chapter 6, I'm just going to quote these scriptures for those that are taking notes. I'm not going to expound on them, but in the book of Romans chapter 6 through 1 through 6, the Bible tells us that baptism is a burial. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, the Bible says that this is where we put on Christ, is in that watery grave of baptism. In the book of Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we remember the story of the Apostle Paul on his way to Damascus, and Christ blinded him and knocked him down on that road of Damascus, and Paul was blind. And they led him into the city of Damascus, and he was there 3 days and three nights praying. If prayer could have saved the Apostle Paul would have been saved. But you know what Ananias told him? God told Ananias, said, go and tell that man what to do to be saved. And Ananias walked up to Paul, and he says, why tarriest thou? He said, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. See, that's when we call on him, after we are baptized into him. You know, the Apostle Paul was in the religion. He was in another religion, but he had to be baptized into the church. He had to be baptized again. And that's what we have to do. We have to be baptized when we're coming from another religion, because this is the only religion that God accepts is his son, Jesus Christ. Notice what the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20-21. It tells us that the like figures of baptism also now save us. You know, it's not the putting on the filth of the flesh. The flesh profited nothing from this. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 is that when Philip preached to those Jews on the day of Pentecost and found out that they had crucified the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they asked a question, men and brother, what must we do? You know what Philip told him? He said, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. And he said, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They didn't get that gift until after they were baptized. It wasn't before. And you know something else? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible tells us that we must all be baptized into the church of Christ. He said, I've never seen that in the Bible before. Well, let's take a look. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we will look at 12 and 13. Well, the Bible tells us that we all, every man, must be baptized into the church of Christ. Look at the scripture. It says that for as the body is one, notice that one again, that one body, and have many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now notice what it says. For by one Spirit, notice that one again, one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into how many spirit? One spirit. Now, the Bible says that is one. And let's follow this a little further on down in these passages of scriptures. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 20. He says, but now are they many members, yet but one body. And let us drop down to verse 27. It says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. When we are baptized with that one Spirit into that one body, we become members of the church of Christ. And the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. And like I told you, brothers and sisters and friends, understanding is the best thing in this world when it comes to your salvation. You have to know this. There can't be a doubt about whether we're saved or not. We have to know, make that calling sure when it comes to our salvation. And the lesson is yours this morning, and hopefully something was said from these passages of scriptures. If nothing more, it was just to cause us just to go out and search, if to see if these things are true. And you know, you may be like me, coming from another religion. And when I heard the gospel, I knew it was the truth, because I could read it in my Bible. I knew it was the truth. The only reason I didn't obey it, I was wondering what other people were going to think about me. I said, what about my aunt that raised me? What's she going to think about me if I change and come to the Church of Christ? What about my sisters and brothers? What about the people I told that I was saved? And I go and tell them now I have to go and be baptized again. What about that? I was thinking about all those things. The only reason I didn't obey the gospel the day when I heard it. Let me say to you this morning, if you're in that state, you handle your business with God. You let them talk while you handle your business with God, because that's what I did. You know what? And when I learned the truth, all those people that I was worried about, what they were going to think about me and what they were going to say, when I took them the truth, they wouldn't even listen to me. And I was worried about what they're going to think about me. But I heard God say something about his son in Matthew 17. He said, this is my beloved son, who I am well pleased. Hear ye him. They talked about Jesus. They even said that Jesus had a devil in him. But God said he was well pleased with them. That lesson is yours. We come to Christ this morning by the hearing of his word. And this is the plan that Philip was talking about to the unit. You have to hear, not just anything, you have to hear the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have to hear what the word of God says, and then after hearing it, you must believe it. The Bible teaches us in the book of St. John chapter 20 In verse 29 and 30, the Bible said, truly many signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. He said, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing have life through his name. And so we have to believe what we hear from God's word. And after believing it, we must repent. In the book, in the Luke 13 and 3, say, I'll tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And after repentance comes is a good confession. Remember that unit made that statement. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God before he was baptized. We have to make that confession. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10, 9 and 10, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, so thou shalt be saved. So with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we have to make that good confession. And after we make the good confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. In Galatians 3 and verse 27, the Bible says, for as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on him. And this is where we put him on, is in the watery grave of baptism. So at this time, when we follow these five steps, we walk in the newness of life. And as Christians, as we stumble and fall, we are to repent. And we are ashamed of the body of Christ. And we are to ask for the prayers of the righteous, of our brothers and sisters, that we might be reinstated back into fellowship if we shame the body of Christ in any way. And then if we just need prayer while we're saying the chosen song this morning, we may come.